So I'm going to share two stories with you. And even before I share them, let me preface by simply saying this. The people involved in these stories, my intention is not in any way to put them in any negative light. I believe that God has a time and a plan for every person, and God is accomplishing that. I respect that, and I'm sharing these stories with deep respect for these men. So the first story is about a patient that I anointed last Sunday. It's about 9 o'clock at night. He must have been about 80 years old. When I introduced myself to him, I walked into his room. He was so relieved, so relieved. And one of the very first things he said to me was, "Father, I'm so glad that you're here." And he immediately blurted out, he said, "I have not been to church in what, 30, 40, 50 years? And he says, "I had no reason for this, just didn't do it. And I wish I had." So I spoke to him for a little bit, and I completely, you know, understand this. So I consoled him. I said, "Listen, God's love is far greater than all our sins put together. God is kind. God is merciful. Just give yourself into God's hands." But it's what he said afterwards that really got me. He said, "Father, when I get out of here, he says, I'm going to come and see you in church. He says, I'm going to be in church every Sunday if I can." But of course, in my mind, I was wondering whether he knew he was at hospice and that these were his last days. And I really prayed. I prayed that he will recover and that he would be able to go for Mass at least one Sunday. I would like for him to die without regrets. The larger question in my mind was, did it have to come to this to realize what he should have done all along? Did it have to come to this? To lie at your deathbed or in your deathbed with regrets, that is hard. Here's my second story. It's about the two young men I visited in jail last Wednesday. One of them, I know both of these men. The second person that I spoke to, he has been incarcerated for about 2 months, and now he's looking at a very long jail sentence. And I spoke to him for a good half an hour. He's truly repentant for his actions, completely, and I believe that he's sincere. And I found him sincerely trying to put himself on the road to recovery. And I believe that when he gets out of prison, he's good, he'll be set. But here is what he said to me. He said, "Father, I'm glad that I'm in prison. Because if I wasn't, by now I would be dead." And he said, "Now that I'm in jail, I'm getting closer to God." He said, I'm surrounded by all kinds of criminals. There are rapists here, there are murderers here. And he said, "I cannot believe that it took the jail to get me to God." At this point, he was at peace with himself. My eyes are beginning to tear up when he said, "It took me the jail to get me to God." I tried to help this guy about 4 years back. I have spoken to him numerous times. And he said to me, "Father, I wish I had listened to you. He says, but I have no regrets. I know that God has a plan for me. And when I come out of jail, I'm going to spend the rest of my life doing good in the world. So two stories and today's scripture. I want to use these stories and today's scripture to draw some great practical applications for us, implications for us. The third of them I want to dedicate to mothers. First of all, taking God for granted. So as I left hospice, here's the one thing that I became very aware of. I said, dear God, I want to thank you that I have another day to live. Of course, we don't control anything, but I had the sense that I'm going to walk away from this hospice and I have one more day to live. And the same thing happened when I left jail. I became very aware of my freedom. I said, dear God, I have one more day to be free. And both these experiences put together made me aware of how easily I take God for granted. My life that God has given me for granted. There's another story that I came across on Thursday. I don't know if you heard about this, but a Delta flight 2028 from Fort Lauderdale to New York was actually diverted to Charleston. And the reason was one of the engines, oil was leaking into the engine, and so this cabin was filled with smoke. For 5 minutes, people thought, gosh, we are doomed. And so, but they were all safe. They got, they landed safe. But one of the passengers, in an interview, said later, I'm not religious, but I prayed. He said, I prayed, dear God, please save me. And he said, from now on, I will be a good boy. Now, he said this on TV, and guess what? These days, national TV will follow you 5 years from now and tell you, remember what you said 5 days back, 5 years back? Yeah? Sometimes media is more unforgiving than God, huh? Okay. But today, based on these stories, if there's one thing I want to suggest, it's simply this. Let's not take God and the life that God has given us for granted. Let's not. It does not have to take death or the jail or a failing plane to let us know how important God is for us. It really isn't that hard. So I'm suggesting that we evaluate our relationship with God. Really. Are we taking God for granted? Our prayer time with God, are we saying to ourselves, well, tomorrow I'll pray. Right? Tomorrow, it's always tomorrow. Our reflection with Scripture, are we really taking it in? Gosh, it's God speaking with us. Our works of mercy, don't keep your works of charity for another day. If you have something in mind, do it now. And our worship, how often Sunday is something we have to go to. Gosh, if we knew God, we want to be there. So I went for confession yesterday, on Saturday, so Friday. I want to be in my deathbed without regrets. Folks, take nothing for granted. Secondly, who is this God that we should not take for granted? God, very simply, God is love. You hear that in today's scripture, huh? So when I think of this man in his deathbed, when I think about this guy in jail, when I think about this man in this on this failing plane, I want to say to them, duh. Right? But then, they are not the only people who have taken life for granted. Sometimes we do, right? How many of us take our mothers for granted? Sometimes we don't realize that we should work hard till we've had a failure. how grateful we should be for our health till we actually fall ill. So, faith, spirituality, and worship, the same thing. Is it really that hard? I think sometimes we make it hard. It's actually very simple. It's as simple as God is love. Listen, any Christian who can understand that, and any Christian who lets the depth of their being be touched by this one statement from Scripture, listen, forget everything else. That God is love. Then we understand the simplicity of it all. Jesus calls us friends. And many people relate to God with fear. Jesus calls us friends. And then the demand is very simple. Love one another as I have loved you. It's as simple as that. So very simply said, religion is a celebration of love, of a God who is love. Prayer is breathing in God's life-giving love. Sometimes we make it a chore. We want to be involved in methods and this kind of prayer and that. You know, the simplest thing is to just be with God who is love and just breathe God's Spirit in. Charity is expressing ourselves with God's love like a painter expresses with colors. God is so beautiful, and anything good that we do is just expressing God's love through us. Worship is the adoration of indescribable love. Yes, we are here this morning because this God of love, we want to just fall at His feet. As simple as that. So when we forget that faith is first and foremost about love, when we forget that faith is first and foremost about a person, when faith gets limited to doctrines and rituals, when we engage in religious activities more out of fear than out of love, that is when we lose the simplicity of our faith. That's when we lose it. If we can comprehend the utter simplicity of God, and these days, perhaps that's where I am. I just feel, you know, God is not as complicated as we think. As long as if we can connect with the simplicity of God and God's love, then the practice of our faith becomes a privilege rather than a chore. So it's really not that hard. Today's scriptures are inviting us to first discover God who is love and then become instruments of that love. Thirdly, Mother's Day, and I want to talk to you a little bit about my mother. Oh gosh, what do I say about her? So she's barely this tall, my mother. And every time I go home, I find that she's shrinking. And when I go home, I give her the warmest. She just fits, you know, I can just cover her like that, and I just pick her up a little bit. Oh, it's a little bit of heaven every time I go and see her, and I do that twice a year. She did not attend college, but she worked as a clerk in a government office for 35 years, even though she did not want to. The day she retired, she came home like a little schoolgirl who was coming back with a candy, and she never talked about work after that ever. She cooked 3 meals every day for my mom, for my dad, and the two of us. Every day, 3 meals every day, even though she worked full time. She turned over her entire salary to my dad and then wanted to know nothing about it. She actually made more than my dad did, but was never an issue. She had very few needs. But she loves saris. You know, Indian women wear saris, and I love my mother in a sari. That's all she wears. And she would often go with me because she loved my choice of sari. So even today when I go, every time I go, I buy her a sari, although she has a cupboard full of them. And she says, what am I going to do? Mom, wear it. So we buy a sari together every time I go. She loves freely. She gives freely. She cares freely. She's peace-loving. She's humble. And most of all, this is what I like about my mother. She's simple. You know, relationship with her is not complicated. It's so simple. And I love that about my mother. I love and adore my mother. For me, my mother is God's way of saying, I love you. In fact, I believe that my mother's simplicity is a window into the simplicity of God. When I look at my mother, I want to say, oh, I get a little idea of what God must be like. So, God made mothers, all of you. God made mothers to let us know that God is love. God made mothers to let us know that God is love. Happy Mother's Day to all of you. And on Thursday when we had school mass over here, I was talking about mothers to our children. And I asked them, what are you going to do for Mother's Day? Oh, I'm going to make her breakfast. I'm going to clean the house. I'm going to make her draw flowers. Give her flowers. I'm going to draw a picture. And I said, listen, do one very simple thing. I said, go and give your mother the biggest hug in the world and tell her that you love her heck of a lot. I said, just do that. Don't do anything else. If you do nothing else, it's okay. But go and give. Yeah, so if your mother's in town, please do that, because I can't do that. She's far away. Don't take your mother for granted if she's here. Give your mother the biggest hug in the world and tell her how much you love her. So this is my way of honoring mothers. I wish to honor all of you, but in that case, I would have to buy about 10,000 roses. So I have 6 roses that I'm going to give to very specific mothers. And let's see who, but as I do that, please know that I'm honoring all of you. So first of all, who's the oldest mother here? Something to be proud of. Don't listen to these men laughing at you, okay? Okay, 95, 4, 93, 92, 90, 89, 89, come here. Happy Mother's Day. Who's the youngest mother? Now, without trying to be cocky about this, anybody 19 or under? 20? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. No, what, really? 26, 7, or maybe they don't want to tell. There you go. I was afraid nobody wants to tell their real age. Happy Mother's Day. Come here. Okay, mother with the most amount of children. Now, I know a priest whose mother had 15 children, okay? And this priest is still alive. So anybody with 15? Okay, 14, 13, 12, 11. What's happening to Catholics? 10, 9, 9, there you go. Happy Mother's Day.
Thank you, Father. Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
Okay, so the newest mother, and when I mean my mother, I could say whose babies born into the world, or I can say conceived. I don't know which way to go because I see pregnant mothers here. So maybe we can do it because you become mother at the very first moment of your conception. So the newest mother, somebody who came to realize that they are expecting a child in the last 1 week? Month? 2 months? 3 months? Who? Who's 2 months? 3 months? 4 months? 5 months? Guys? 6 months? There you go. Happy Mommy's Day. Okay, and this is always hard, but is there a mother who may have lost their child in the last year? No? Good thing. Okay, so then I have an extra rose. Mother of the youngest child. What happened? This is so funny. That should be on YouTube. That should be on YouTube. She said she's 89 and she says, keep quiet. Okay. Okay, mother with the youngest child. Anybody who has an infant? I know there's somebody here, 7 weeks old? 3 weeks, somebody with 6 or 7 weeks. I met them at the back of the church. Is a mother there who, come on now. Happy Mother's Day. That's the youngest. Look at this baby. Happy Mother's Day. And you know what? You got to see this baby. Look at her. Look at her. Look at this baby. Hey, you do a great job. Have lots of them, okay? Okay, and now the last, to the very best mother of all, I would like somebody to please come and offer a flower to our Blessed Mother, Mary. Who wants to do that? Somebody come on up to offer our Blessed Mother. Who wants to do this? Okay, there she comes. Okay, the two of you, both of you, come on. Here. Come on, now take that. Hold that together. Okay, and now there's a vase right in front of Mary's statue. See, there's a peach rose and a red rose. Go ahead and put it there. Thank you. Thank you for doing that. People of God said, Amen.